The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth, to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Word of God, word of life. And now let us pray Psalm 121 responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills, but where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and coming in. This time forth forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. What are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Word of God, word of life.
To us, oh, save us.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. On Friday morning, we celebrated a memorial service here for Ida Edwards. If you knew Ida, even in passing, you knew two things about her. One, she loved to have a good time, and she was from Hackensack, Minnesota. She was very proud of her Midwestern roots. Does it make a difference whether you were born in Minnesota or in California? Does your place of birth affect your personality? Obviously, it affects your language a little. Does it tell others something important about who you are? Now, to those questions, Ida would have said, "You betcha." We often use a person's place of birth as a kind of label. We think we know how a person thinks or how a person will behave, depending on where they were born. We all know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and yet he is called Jesus of Nazareth. And when he was an adult, he claimed the city of Capernaum as his hometown. Jesus was not too concerned about the place of one's birth. He was interested in something more serious. He talked about how one's spiritual birth was much more important than one's physical birth. Now, that thought might have upset Ida, or anybody who puts a lot of stock in genealogies or in where they were born. But that late-night conversation in Jerusalem with Nicodemus, Jesus puts the matter quite simply. Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees, one of the leaders of the Jews, very respected And he had come to Jesus to get some of his questions about this itinerant preacher answered. The Pharisees knew who their ancestors were, and they knew where each other were from. Nicodemus wants to know more about Jesus. He's not only in the dark, literally, but he's also in the dark figuratively. He only knows that Jesus comes from God. Jesus responds to that comment with a remark about where people might come from. He says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Now that's a pretty familiar statement to us. We've usually heard that translated, "You must be born again." Now both of those are legitimate translations of the word born again, or born from above, or born anew. Usually when I hear that in conversation or in reading, born again, I think of revival tents and altar calls. Maybe you've been asked that question by some of your more fundamental Christian friends. Have you been born again? Well, we shouldn't just dismiss that phrase out of hand. What Jesus was talking about is one of the most important disciplines of Christian life. He's talking about defining our identity, not by earthly standards, but by defining our identity by spiritual standards. Jesus agrees with us that our births are important. Our place of birth is indeed important, but Jesus wants us to be renewed in our birth, reborn entirely, born from above. Our identities shaped by something other than who our ancestors were, or the place that we were born, or where we were raised. There's a television show, maybe you've seen this, the title is, Who Do You Think You Are? Famous celebrities or sports personalities dig back through their history to find interesting and sometimes surprising answers to that question, who do you think you are? Finding out who is on your family tree is interesting and can often explain some things about our family history. When my father's family ancestors came to America from France in the 17th century, there were three brothers that came together, and they all settled in different parts of the country. And I think there's a story in that. Why did they separate? Why did they go to different places and not ever have any contact with one another again? Maybe I don't want to know that. That program was on television last night, and I didn't watch it, but it was Rosie O'Donnell was digging into her Irish roots to find out who she is. Maybe you're interested in knowing more about your family tree. But I don't think many of us like to think about being born again. We don't like that talk as much about as well as we like the talk about where we were born. It sounds like we might have to give something up. You know, I kind of like who I am in my natural birth. And this talk of being born again or born from above or renewed in birth sounds like we might have to give something up. Why be born again if we're pretty happy with the way that we are? We're rather comfortable with how we are today. And if we are to be born anew, then things would have to change, it sounds like. But that's exactly what Jesus invites us to do, to be born again, to be born from above. Jesus invites us to be born of the Spirit in a new life of freedom and wonder. He says the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Have you been reborn? I hope so. And I hope it happens again and again. That verse holds so much promise for us. The wind blows where it chooses. Listening for the wind of the Spirit is one of the great disciplines of Christian life. Waiting for the chance to be born anew is one of the great disciplines of Christian life. Maybe we should add that to our Lenten disciplines. We always hear prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Maybe it should be prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and listening for the wind of the Spirit. That wind of the Spirit that's freedom and love. Much stronger is that wind than is our control that we have over our lives. Or maybe I should say the control that we think we have. It's stronger than the place that we were born. It's stronger than our ancestry, stronger than our relationships that define us today. Wife, daughter, sister, friend. The wind of the Spirit is stronger than that. No matter where it may blow, that Spirit wind sweeps us into the kingdom. As Christians, we are natives of that place called the kingdom of God. We are natives of heaven, natives of eternal life. The kingdom that we belong to simply by being born anew in the life of Jesus, by letting our identities be shaped and reshaped by the wind of the Holy Spirit, by the breath of the living God. Our identity is not, most importantly, based on where we were born or who our ancestors were or even our relationships or our place today. Our identity is shaped by our baptism and our being born anew, reborn in Jesus Christ. We are known not as Minnesotans or Californians, not as Caucasians or Latinos, not as middle class or unemployed, not as hobbyists or Republicans. We are known by our true identity. We are Christians. We are people who have been born again in the waters of baptism, born again in the breath of the Holy Spirit. We have our identity and our future in eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. I hope your Lenten journey is one of listening to the wind of the Holy Spirit, rebirthing you again and again in your true identity as God's precious child. Amen.